Chapter 2. In looking at the world around us, I'm occasionally struck by this question of attitude. How is it that we live in the world, or how is it that we approach our life in the world? What kind of attitude do people have to life, whether it be in this country or elsewhere? And I've found that a lot of people have a very selfish attitude, looking out for number one. The guiding principle of this attitude is to do what is best for me, regardless of the kind of impact that my actions could have on those around me. And on some level, this attitude is understandable. After all, the only person whom you can control is yourself. And so your actions have a greater impact on yourself than on anyone else. And yet this selfish attitude is not the attitude that Paul calls us to have in our epistle reading from Romans chapter 2, when he says, let love be genuine. And in fact, Paul encourages us to have the exact opposite attitude. Now, attitude is important. It changes the way that you approach things. For example, school. If your attitude towards school is that school is a drag, and you don't want to be there, and you don't have, and there's nothing that these stupid teachers can teach you, you're not going to have much fun there, and you're not going to learn very much there. Whereas if your attitude towards school is that you want to be there, and you want to learn, and you're excited, you are going to have a good time at school, in general. If your attitude to housework is that housework is a drag and you don't want to do it, then you're not going to do it at all for months. Whereas if your attitude is that it is a good thing and important, you will actually gain enjoyment from it. If your attitude toward work is that you just want work to be over and done with, you're just waiting for the weekend, you're not going to enjoy what you are doing at all. Whereas if your attitude towards work is that it is what you want to be doing and what you are called to do, and it is important, then you are going to enjoy it. There's a story about a hospital where all of the workers were surveyed to see how their attitude towards their work was. And the person at the hospital who had the best attitude and got the most enjoyment out of their work was the janitor. Because they would ask all of the nurses, what do you do? And it's, oh, I'm a nurse. I'm a charge nurse. I'm a supervising nurse. They ask the surgeons, oh, I'm a surgeon. They ask the janitor, and the janitor's response is, I am in the healthcare profession. His attitude was different. And the attitude reflects in how you approach things and how you do it. So if your attitude towards others is one of love, you want to be kind and nice and do good for those people. The attitude is what is important. So the question to ask is, what does Paul mean by love when he says, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection? What does he mean by love? And we talked about this multiple times, that in Greek there are multiple different terms for love. There are four different words in Greek for love. There is eros, or the love for a spouse. There is storge, which is the love for a relative. Philios, the love for a brother or a friend. Or agape, self-sacrificing love. And it is the last form of love, which we oftentimes focus on, that Jesus shows to us and that we show to others, is that self-sacrificial love. the attitude we have is of love in giving and in serving. And this is not just something that Paul talks about. John talks about the same thing. John chapter 13, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." Or else a couple chapters later, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." The attitude is love, the same attitude as Jesus' love towards us. Or in John's letter, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. For if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Our love for others is the same self-sacrificing love which God has for us. This means putting the needs and desires of others ahead of your own. So a husband who loves his wife will put her needs ahead of his own. A wife who loves her husband puts her husband's needs ahead of her own. When both put the other's needs ahead of their own, both are served. Parents sacrifice anything for their children because they love them. Now, if you are going to love one another with brotherly affection, that does also and should come out in our actions. And a good example of this, a rather modern, appropriate example, would be this whole mask-wearing thing. Now, when I wear a mask at communion, it is not because I'm afraid you're going to give me something. It's not because I'm trying to protect myself. It's because I am trying to protect you. Everything I've read has made it clear that masks are partially beneficial in keeping yourself from getting sick, but it's better than nothing, but not as effective at keeping things out of yourself as at keeping your own things to yourself. Jane will probably correct me after church, but that's everything I've heard. There are other stories out there of how it is effective at keeping yourself healthy, but primarily it's to prevent your own germs from getting to someone else. Actually, if you've ever been to East Asia, China, Japan, people will wear masks quite regularly there, not because they are healthy and don't want to get sick, but because they are feeling sick and don't want someone else to get sick. The focus is on helping others. So when I wear a mask at communion, it's to protect you, not me. I may be carrying it without showing any symptoms. If I did show symptoms, I wouldn't be here right now, but that's the problem, is you can be carrying it without the symptoms, and so the mask is to help you. So, although I don't think I'm carrying it, I wear a mask anyways just to be safe so that I don't pass it on to others. In other words, wearing a mask is an example of showing love to someone else, even if it doesn't directly benefit myself, or where the intent isn't to benefit yourself, but rather to benefit someone else. Now, Paul gives a number of examples in our reading of ways that we can show love to others in our service to others, contributing to the needs of the saints and seeking to show hospitality. This can be this can mean giving to missions or for other churches around the world. It can be supporting specific missionaries who are serving in Africa or South America. It can mean working with Lutheran World Relief or Orphan Grain Train to provide for people's physical needs. But the idea is giving to others, not directly giving to benefit yourself or our church. living in harmony with one another. That's a very important thing in the church, even if it can be challenging. It is so much easier when we approach this living in harmony with one another from an attitude of love. You may not get along with someone, I may not get along with someone, but when our attitude towards them is one of self-sacrifice and service, we can be willing to put our own desires and needs aside for the sake of others. That is what it means to show brotherly affection to one another. Paul says, if your enemy is hungry, then feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Think of someone who has wronged you, someone who you would never in a million years like or want to be in the same building with. Your challenge this week is to do one good thing, one nice thing for that person. Why? Because that is what Jesus did for us. Ultimately, Jesus is the chief example of this self-sacrificial love, the example of our Savior who went to the cross for us. In our gospel reading, Jesus says that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, be killed, and on the third day be raised. He tells us to take up our cross to follow him because he took up his cross for us. Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 2, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. In other words, you were God's enemies because of sin. You were apart from him. And yet, he sacrificed himself in the most literal way imaginable, death on a cross, because of his great love for you. You were not lovable, but he loved you anyways. You were his enemy, and he sacrificed his own body and blood to make you his people, so that he may feed you his true body and blood as your food and drink, as a testimony to his covenant with you. You are his, and he loves you. And it is this love which we share with those around us. It is this attitude of self-sacrifice that informs all of our actions toward those around us. We give love to others because he has already given that love to us. We have already received far more from him. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.